They told me to sit down, but they didn't tell me to shut up. Don't have a lectern to lean on today. It was November 1941, a few days before the beginning of World War II, when Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Lieutenant Porter Williamson had been assigned as a supply officer for General George Patton, 2nd Armored Division, his tank division. And Lieutenant Williams was on his way trying to find, across the South Carolina countryside, trying to find General Patton's headquarters. And as he drove, he approached this small bridge, and he was very unhappy when he saw one of the tanks parked on the approach to the bridge, and he couldn't get across the bridge. And he knew the tanks were not supposed to cross any bridges. It was one of the rules of the Army Tank Corps. And he really became disgusted when he saw that tank parked there. And these war games which were taking place, like I said, tanks weren't supposed to cross the bridges. So he cooled his anger a little bit and he approached this bridge. And when he got there, he noticed another tank was already in the stream. The only thing that was sticking out of the stream was the turret of the tank. And he heard this guy in the other tank sitting on the bridge there. He said, "She's stuck in there. They shouldn't have tried to get stuck in there because they didn't do this right. This old sergeant had stuck his head out of the tank, and he was trying to get across this stream." So he told him, "Well, let's give it a try." They backed the tank up, and he took about 50 yards and took a big run at this stream. He took off, mud was flying all over the place, and he hit the stream, and the tank floated for just a minute. The engine sputtered, and the tread engaged the bank on the other side, and it came up out of the stream then. And it's throwing mud all over the place, and as he rolled up out of the bank, the mud and water was dripping off of the tank, every bit of the tank. And the lieutenant was about to read this sergeant out for being on the bridge in the first place, for, you know, being sitting there. About this time, the lieutenant went in kind of a shock because the sergeant ducked his head back down into the tank, and he came out with a helmet on. It had two stars on it, and it was General Patton in the tank itself. And immediately, the lieutenant wrote that he was very impressed with General Patton. He would later learn that was one of the leadership principles that the General Patton always espoused. And you don't do anything that you don't command your people to do anything that you wouldn't do. You know, you set the right example before them. And over the years, Lieutenant Williamson had served with General Patton, and he was so impressed with some of General Patton's leadership principles that he wrote a book dealing with some of these principles. And this is one of those, this story actually came from that book. So I'd like to examine one of these leadership principles today brought out in this book. The principle is that General Patton did not allow his soldiers to dig foxholes. This, you know, that principle may sound strange at first, but, you know, after examining this principle, the time could come when understanding and remembering this, applying this principle, could actually save our own spiritual lives. Critics of course, you know, people always have critics, but critics of General Patton thought that this principle, not digging foxholes, was very inhumane. It was a very bad principle. And they were saying, they claiming that he didn't care for the lives of his people. But actually, what we found the opposite was true. General Patton knew from experience, and he had seen enough of war and enough foxhole digging and trench warfare, because he was involved before World War II and World War I. And it was a war of a battle of the trenches. People sitting in trenches, artillery hitting, and it was a battle of attrition, a terrible slaughter of people in these trenches. So General Patton remembered this terrible carnage he had seen. So when he took command of the troops in World War II to put this principle of not digging foxholes into practice, it's based on the fact, and this is what he told his men, if you stop and dig a foxhole, you are not moving forward. And a moving target is harder to hit than a stationary target. Secondly, he told them by stopping and digging a foxhole, they had lost their purpose in the battle. They were no longer facing up and overtaking the enemy. And he stressed that their goal was to attack, to face up, and to overcome that enemy. And told him, when you dig a foxhole, and you the tendency is that you want to remain there. But he said, actually, you're digging your own grave when you do that, because it takes you temporarily out. It does take you temporarily out of the line of fire, but it makes you feel safe for a little bit. But that's a false sense of security. It's actually a very false sense, for it's known in that day of World War II that artillery was more responsible for more deaths than any other cause. And if you're sitting in a foxhole, the artillery has time to zero in on you, and the trajectory of an artillery shell is up and down. The foxhole does not actually offer too much protection for artillery shells. So artillery is very effective against a sitting target. And so those who dig foxholes may feel secure and comfortable, but they're not actually out of the line of the real dangerous fire. It was a false sense of security, because they may not realize while sitting in their foxholes, at the same time this artillery may be zeroing in on them. Brethren, does war, fighting, enemy, artillery, and foxholes have to do with our spiritual lives? We're told in the Bible to put on certain implements of war. If we turn to, I know you all remember in Ephesians 4, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And Paul also talks about fighting the good fight. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians 2, it speaks of a warfare. And it speaks of a warfare that we are involved in as God's people. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, notice what it says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. He's not talking about a fleshly war here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. It's not a worldly warfare that we're involved in. It's not nothing in this world that we're fighting. It's a spiritual warfare. And we probably all realize that ultimately our fight is against Satan. And overcoming, the Bible stresses this, overcoming our enemies can be likened to war. A war, and brethren, we need to realize we're fighting for our spiritual lives. When most of us became a part of God's church, it probably didn't take us long to realize, it became implanted in our minds. We had a commission, a goal, a mission to fulfill. There was work to be done. And for our own spiritual growth, we need to be moving forward. And also, it didn't take us long to realize, very long at all, most of you realize there is an enemy out there, a very potent enemy, an enemy that, brethren, we have to face up to, an enemy who would like to prevent us from reaching our goal and keeping us from growing spiritually. In our spiritual lives, sometimes it is natural to want to dig a spiritual foxhole, to hold on to what we have. to regroup, to get out of the line of fire, you know, just to feel safe. But there are dangers, just like in the physical war, in remaining in that foxhole too long. Maybe we've noticed, if you've ever been in one of these automatic car washes, and you sit there in the car wash, and you look out the side window, and this machinery is going back into, and as that machinery is going by, it actually, you're not moving, but it makes you feel like the car is moving. You're sitting still, but it makes you feel like the car is actually moving to watch that machinery pass by on the side like that. If you look, you know, and we can begin to believe we're sitting in the car, we can be, our minds can fool us, we begin to believe that we're actually moving. And the same is with us spiritually. You know, if we're sitting in a spiritual foxhole, staring at all those going in the opposite direction, which they are, they're going in the opposite direction, and if we compare ourselves with them, we can begin to feel pretty good about ourselves. We can look around this world and, hey, you know, I can feel pretty good about myself. And we begin to believe that we're moving forward, moving toward our goal. And actually, in reality, we may be just sitting there just very still in our spiritual foxholes going nowhere. You know, on a spiritual plane, if we dig a spiritual foxhole, you know, if we stay there, we may end up in that foxhole. And it turns, maybe, that foxhole can turn into our spiritual grave. You know, if we begin to feel comfortable and safe where we are, we can find ourselves actually wanting to stay there. You know, we don't want to face those trials. We don't want to face those dangers. And it reminds me of Scripture in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, as you know, it's a parable of the talents. Parable of the talents. Let's look at verse 14 of Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It says here, excuse me, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country, who called his servants, and delivered unto them his goods." And we read in verse 15 through 18 then, "He gives one servant 5 talents, he gives another servant 2, and to one servant he gave 1 talent. And then we read on how these people increased their talents, with the exception of the one servant who received the 1 talent. And we're told this man buried his talent in the earth. It's like in a spiritual foxhole. He buried it in the earth. And verse 19 through 24, we read of how when the master returned, he rewarded those who gained talents. He rewarded all those who gained talents. Then we read of the one, you know, the ones who gained and one overcome. Then we read of the one, the man who buried his talent in verse 25. In verse 25, notice what he said. I was afraid. He was afraid to get out there and face the enemy. "I went and hid your talent in the earth." I hid your talent. The man who was afraid to face the enemy. You know, maybe he had gotten tired. Maybe, you know, been fighting the good fight and gotten tired. Maybe confused. But he just didn't want to step out. He wanted to rest. He wanted to remain in his comfort zone. He wanted to remain in the foxhole. He wanted to hold on to what he had been given, to maintain the status quo. So consequently, brethren, he could not grow. He could not grow. He could not increase. He could not overcome. You know, here was a man who dug a spiritual foxhole. He became so comfortable there that he stayed there, perfectly content. In verse 26, "His Lord answered him and said unto him, You wicked and slothful servant." You know, he was telling him, you're a lazy servant. You became comfortable. You were content to sit there in your foxhole. Now I want you to notice in verse 30, the fate of those who do that. Verse 30, and I cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. You know, brethren, here is the man who stopped to hold on to what he had. He knew what he'd been given. Been given a lot. Then he hid from and quit facing up from the enemy. Down in that hole, he could no longer see the goal ahead. He thought he was safe in his spiritual foxhole. But in reality, brethren, he had dug his own spiritual grave. And he didn't even know it. You know, for it's true, as General Patton stated, if you stop and dig a foxhole and remain there, you're no longer facing up to the enemy. You're static, you're standing still. Hiding in a hole, you cannot overcome the enemy. You know, hiding in a hole, we cannot reach our goal. Standing still, we cannot grow and overcome our spiritual enemies. We have to keep moving forward, changing, growing, overcoming to reach our goal. You know, it's true, brethren, we get in that spiritual foxhole. You know, we're out of the direct line of fire. You know, we do get a false sense of security. But just as in the physical war, we're sitting there still in our foxholes, feeling pretty safe. At the same time, brethren, maybe the big artillery is zeroing in on us. It's zeroing in on us. And we know who the big artillery is. It's Satan himself. Hopefully, we can see from this leadership principle, from this analogy, the danger of digging and remaining in spiritual foxholes. The danger of resting on our accomplishments. You know, as in the old Olympics, laying back and resting on your laurels. They gave them a crown of laurels when they won an event. They laid back and rested on their laurels. Firstly, let's not forget that even though a foxhole might appear safe, and give us that false sense of security, but more than likely, as I said, the enemy is zeroing in on our position, trying to destroy us. He's there. He knows what we're doing. Secondly, if we remain in that spiritual foxhole, it's easy to become content, satisfied with ourselves. And brethren, we know we cannot become satisfied with ourselves. We know what ourselves are. And brethren, God has given us a work to do. We need to be growing and overcoming. Those words are still very much in the Bible, growing and overcoming. So please, let us not never forget this leadership principle, the spiritual application of this leadership principle of General Patton. You know, brethren, if we dig a spiritual foxhole and we begin to feel comfortable and remain there too long, we're digging our own spiritual grave.